series of Psalms 119, taking those eight verse sections at a time, and looking forward to what God's going to do tonight in our midst. Psalms 119, we're looking at verses 105 to 112 tonight. 105 to 112, we've already gotten through over 100 of them, and after tonight, we're going to be all the way up to 112, so there is 176 different verses, so we've still got a little ways to go. I've enjoyed it. I know that sometimes it may not be as entertaining as some people call it preaching, but man, it's so filled with the Word of God. It's so much of a fill with the love of the Word of God and just the desire to want to know God and the desire to want to understand God. There's just so much inside of it that is just so it's invigorating if you'll take time to think about it and think, man, this is how I should be looking at the Word of God, and these are things I need to do. So tonight's message is Making a Commitment to God's Word, or David makes a commitment to God's Word here. And at the beginning, it's a very familiar verse. Probably most of you could quote it, found in verse 119, 105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." And when you think about that, it's God. David is saying, God's word is what shines my way. I think about a lamp. I think that's something that you use at nighttime. It's many times a lamp is something when it's dark outside. And then it talks about a light on a path. It's giving the idea that it's bright enough as a daytime. I think what the psalmist is saying maybe is two different things here. Number one is that during the dark times, I'm going to follow God's word. And many times that's when we do follow it, when things seem like they're dark. But when it's bright outside, when the things are going to go straight, I could go any way I want, I'm still going to follow his word. I remember one preacher when I was a kid explained it this way. He talked about how the lamp has a very limited amount of light that it shows, and it gives you enough for each step that you have. And sometimes that's what you guys have, is what the next step is. And I guess that's all I got, is just enough for the next step, enough for the next step, enough for the next step. But then also, the bright light is the one that is there, and it shows us a long path and a long way. God has each step of your life planned according to his word. But he also has plans that involve your entire life, too, so that it looks forward ahead. So I like that verse, and as they come to that verse, it talks about how God's word is really, truly a guide for us. It's something that we should say, hey, I need a roadmap here, and I need a direction. I know sometimes people today use GPSs, and I know I have a GPS that we used to use all the time. It was a Garmin. It sat in our car, and for the most part, it never got us lost until we didn't update it. And sometimes it would send us different ways, and sometimes it gets you lost. Nowadays, I use my phone, has a GPS on it, and so that's how I go through that. And that's what the Bible is. It's supposed to be a guidebook for us. It's supposed to be showing us, okay, you're in this situation, you're in this expectation, this is the way you should go. And David's making a commitment here. He's saying whether it's a dark time or a good time or a bright time, it doesn't matter. I'm going the way that God has sent me. I'm going the way that God has given me. And David had a lot of different challenging days, a lot of different days he could have walked away and done things his own way. I think about when Saul tried to kill him. David, he was there. He was in that cave. He could have killed Saul and became king, and probably nobody would have even cared. Everybody probably would have followed him, but he gets cut off a piece of his robe because he wasn't going to touch God's anointed. He could have done that, but he didn't. Why is that? Because he was going to follow God's way. When things were dark and things were hard, he says, I got that lamp, I got that light, I need a step, just step each and every day. But you think about it in our own lives. Do we really truly follow what God's word says? When it goes, sometimes when it's dark, we need the Lord so much and we're dependent so much upon him and we're begging him and praying and we're seeking his word. But what about when everything looks normal and right? Make sure you're doing God's word in God's word and obey. And so David makes a commitment here. He says, God is my guide. I'm not going to listen to so-and-so. I'm not going to listen to so-and-so. I'm going to take God as my guide. You ever been in a car with somebody that had two different ways to get there? And I have before. One person wants to take one way and one person wants to take another way. You know what you can't do? You can't combine the two. You can't say, okay, I'm going to follow you half the way and I'm going to follow you the other half the way. You got to say, hey, here's my commitment. I'm going to go follow the Lord. And that's what he says here in verse number 106. He says, I have sworn that I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. We're going to go ahead and read the rest of the chapter, and we're going to look at the different way David commits. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. So first thing I want you to see here is David commits to keeping God's word. Look what it says in verse 106. He says, I have sworn. He is making a commitment. I am swearing that this is God's way, this is God's word, and I'm making that commitment. You go down to verse number 12, he says, I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always. It's not just part of the time. It's not just when it's easy. It's not just when I think I'm right and I'm doing things. Because many times that's what we as believers, we pick and choose certain things that we say, well, this is God's word, and I'm going to shove this in somebody's face, but I'm not going to worry about this other side. He says, no, I'm going to do this all way. And then you continue on. You see what it says here in verse number 106. It says, and I will perform it. You go down to verse number 12, to perform thy statutes all way. He said, what's the difference? Lots of people like to talk about the statutes. Lots of people like to preach about them. Lots of people like to sing about them. Lots of people like to put it in somebody else's face. Lots of times people like to teach it. But he's saying, above all those other things, I'm going to do it. And this is one of the challenging things about being a preacher. Sometimes when you preach and you believe the Lord wants you to preach hard and you preach the Word of God and the whole counsel of God, there's things in your own life you're thinking, man, I need to do better at that. And it's not that you're being hypocritical, because you desire to want to do better. And it's like, you're here and I want to be like David. This is my guide. I know this is right. I'm going to make a commitment that I'm going to let God's word lead me. I'm going to let God's word guide me, whether it's the dark times or whether it's the brightest day times when things are exciting and happy, or whether things are so dark you don't know how to get the next step and it's what you're praying for. And he says he's going to do it all the time. He says, I'm setting up not to just be able to sing about it and talk about it and preach about it. He says, I'm going to perform them. And he says, I will keep thy righteous judgments at the end of verse number 6. And he says, thy statutes always, even to the end. Now, we know David, not sure exactly what time he wrote these things, but he is making a commitment. But we also know he slips up, whether it's the midpoint of his life, or later on with Bathsheba, or later on with counting the people, all those different things. David messed up at different times. He wasn't perfect, but he's making a commitment. I want to encourage you tonight, it is worth making a commitment. It is worth making a vow. If God speaks to your heart, I'm telling you, man, you should grab a hold of that, and you should say, Lord, if this is what you want from me, here I am. I am a living sacrifice, but be careful. When you make a vow, you need to make sure you keep it. Man's word is one of the few things that he has that is his own. The Bible even says in Ecclesiastes, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. You say, well, Pastor, then why in the world would anybody make a vow? It's because he's God. If he asks something, if he wants something, if he desires something, he speaks to your heart about something, give it over to the Lord. But remember, when you're making this commitment to God, it's not something you're going to back away from. You're going to speak the language of David speaking. I am determining. I am here. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to just do it when things are good or when things are bad. I'm going to do it all the time. I'm going to keep thy precepts. It's not going to be something I just talk about. It's going to be something I plan on doing. Next thing I want you to see here is David keeps God's word during affliction. Look what it says in verse number 7. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. life is not always easy for us. Life is not always easy for David. And we know some of the stories. And that's why it's talking about thy word is a lamp unto my feet. During these days of affliction, when their hardship and their darkness, as I talked about a few different weeks ago about being depressed in this passage of Scripture, David clings onto the word of God. And that's what I encourage you to do. Even in dark times, cling onto his word. Grab a hold of it. That's why he says, even when I'm going to do it, I'm not just going to talk about it. And when the afflictions come, and he even says here, it's not just a little affliction. He says, I am afflicted very much. And what does he need here? He needs to be quickened. And what this word quicken means, he needs to be revived. And the idea of revival in his heart. Oh, Lord, according to thy word. He says, I don't want some other feel good answer. I don't want somebody else just trying to make me feel better. He says, I need a reviving spirit from you. I'm being afflicted. I'm hurting. I'm in need. And everybody else is trying. But God, what I really truly need from you is from your word to revive me and to help see this through. Verse number 8, we see that David praises the Lord with a free will. Verse number 108, excuse me, accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy statutes. There's a couple things about this verse. When you think about verse number, that first word is accept. He's asking God, God, I want you to accept my praises. So, well, doesn't God accept everyone's praises? Not when they're not right from the heart. And if you go down at the end, it says, teach me thy judgments. The only way we're going to know how to please God is by learning what he likes and learning what he dislikes. There are sometimes people go out of their way to try to please somebody by doing what they think that they want. Do you ever have any problems with that? I know people that are married. It's an easy thing. He says, well, this is what I thought you wanted, and this is what I thought you wanted. I did this whole thing just so because I thought this is what you were going to want. And that happens. It happens inside because, it's a man and a woman. That's the only God-given marriage, okay? And it's a man and a woman. They think differently. And you go out there and you try to do something. It's like, why'd you do that? Because I wanted to please you. And that's when you go back and you look at it when that king went back there and he took all those animals and there's the best of the animals and saved King Agag and all that. He says, I did what the Lord commanded me to do. And Samuel said, no, you didn't. He says, God would rather have obedience than sacrifice. God would rather, if you want something that's going to truly please the Lord, he says, then you're going to have to learn how to obey. And that's what he's saying here, accept. And I like this, is I beseech you the free will of offerings of my mouth. And it's a free will offering. It's not something that is forced. It's not something that is pushed on them. You ever see parents make their kids sing? I know that doesn't happen here. But, you get one kid up there that's mouth is completely tight and they don't want to be up there at all. And the parents are like, come on, get up there and sing. And I understand sometimes there's stage fright and sometimes there's this and sometimes there's that. And sometimes maybe you don't feel like singing. But it's a free will thing. When you praise the Lord, it's something that you shouldn't have to be forced to do. When we open up our song books to sing the songs, the great songs and the great hymns, it's not the, oh man, somebody's forcing me to sing. It's a free will offering of my mouth. It's something I'm gonna let up and I'm gonna let go because I see how great God is and I'm thankful for that wonderful story of love. Tell me the story of Jesus. Those are all great things, and the psalmist is committed to God's word. He says, "Look, it's my guide. I've sworn I'm gonna perform it, even when I'm afflicted. I'm gonna perform it." He says, "And this is something I want, God. I want you to accept what I'm doing." He's not saying, hey, I'm going to live whatever way I want, and then, God, I expect you to accept it. I expect you to bless my mess. That's not what he's saying here. He says, I want you to teach me those things that please you. Because sometimes the things that we think please God, they go against his word. Sometimes we think what we're doing in God's name are things that we miss out. And the psalmist is saying, here, look, I want you to teach me those things that please you. I want the sweet offerings or the free will offerings of my mouth to be something that you look at and say, that's what you've been looking for. That's what you desire from me. That's what true worship is, in spirit and in truth. And that truth is that, God, please, will you just teach me what it is you want me to do? God, will you teach me what you will accept? Because I'm tired of doing all these other things that don't seem like they're working, that don't seem like they're pleasing to you, that seem as if they're dead. He says, I want you to teach me those things that you accept, those things that please you. The Bible says without faith, you're not going to please the Lord. And it's important to understand and get to this point. Do you really want God to be pleased with your service, or is church just the way you think it should be? And we got to get out of that mindset that I come and I perform what I think is needs to happen, and we get to the spot and say, God, I want you to accept what I'm doing, the worship that I'm giving, the prayer that I'm giving, when the offering that I'm giving, all those different things. I want you to be pleased with me. I want to do these things by faith. Please teach me by thy commandments. He's still saying, Lord, I want you to guide me. And if I'm going off the wrong path, please tell me. If I should be serving in a different way, please tell me. If I'm having an attitude that is wrong, please tell me. Please show me. He says, because I want you to accept what I'm doing. I wonder how often we really desire, and we come into God's house and God's work and God's worship and say, God, I want you to be pleased with this. And I'm thinking many times, if you hear me pray during the service, I say something, Lord, at the beginning of the service, Lord, we want you to be pleased with what happens here. We don't want to come and play a game. We don't want to come and just have church service. You guys could have been out doing something else tonight if you wanted to, but you came here. And why did you come? Is it because you want God to be pleased with what you're doing? Are you here by faith, believing? And that's what the psalmist is saying. This book is my guide. It's my guide. Now, God, I want you to accept this. And, Lord, teach me where I'm messing up. And even when it talks about the offerings of my mouth, it's talking about praise there. It's amazing that he's asking him to accept that. Everybody would think, well, if he's praising the Lord, If your mouth is saying one thing and your heart is doing something different, that's not pleasing to God. If your mouth is saying one thing and you say, oh, God's great, all wonderful, and you got a dirty, rotten, stinking heart that's got a bad attitude, then God wants you to get this fixed. So when you're saying these things about the Lord, he knows that's true, that you're living by faith. Look what it said in verse 109, too. It says that my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. And we got to remember, David's soul was constantly in harm's way, whether it was against Goliath or whether it was against Saul or Absalom as king of Israel. He's always have man as with a target on his back. But I even think that's a little bit, it's a step deeper than that. He's saying, I have a choice of what I want to do. My soul continually is, and he says, in my hand. And I'm going to keep your precepts even when I have a choice. He says, no longer is there a choice for me. I'm going to do what's right. Because the reality is there's two choices on the shelf. They're serving self or serving God. And I'm going to look at this. I'm going to say, what I'm going to do tomorrow is really, truly in my hand. I have the opportunity to go and do something sinful. I have the opportunity to serve the Lord. I have the opportunity to get up at noon. I know there might be consequences to all those things. I can choose what I'm going to do tomorrow. But David's saying, just because I can choose doesn't mean that my choice is for me. He says, I've made a commitment. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I have sworn that I'm going to keep his precepts. So he makes this decision ahead of time. So often it's important to make a decision ahead of time to say, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow God's word. It is not a commitment that you make while you're resisting the temptation. It's a commitment that you made before when God was speaking to your heart. Daniel, when he was in the lion praying, when they said the king said, hey, look, you've prayed to anybody else but me, you're getting thrown in the lion's den. And that verse talks about how he went and prayed to God as he did aforetime, meaning that he already had a commitment. He had already done it. It wasn't the fact that someone had written this petition or written this law that says, if you don't do it, then I'm gonna kill you. And he says, no. He says, I've been praying all along. Because I've been praying all along because this is my choice. And sometimes when people are pushed to shove, you know, there's something going on and someone's trying to take away your freedom, and then people stand up and they want to start praying then, or they want to do this or do that. It's something we should be doing ahead of time. The decision is something we make when we're going to deal with how we're going to deal with our attitudes or what we're going to deal with the situation ahead of time. Sort of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You go back to the book of Daniel. If this guy is building this tall statue, I mean huge statue, they knew about it ahead of time. They got the decree that everybody was going to bow down. But you know what they had done? They had purpose in their heart. I ain't bowing. And that's what I believe David's saying here. He says, my soul is continually in my hand. And I know he's at risk. He's making these decisions day by day. All these things are facing him. But the reality is what we do each and every day is our own choice. And that's when he says, yet do I not forget thy law. Even though I get my own choice, I'm still going to obey his law. You look at the next one in verse 1:10. He says, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. He's saying that the people who hate me left a trap for me. They have done everything they could to try to get me to walk in a snare. And he says, I'm committed to God's word even when people are attacking me. And the wicked is something there that they don't care about who they hurt. They don't care as long as they get their way, as long as they can get their prey, that person, they could care less what it takes. You think about it, those guys, those governors that were disappointed about Daniel, and they watched Daniel and couldn't find anything offensive about him except for the way he loved his God and worshiped his God. They're going to throw Daniel in the lion's den. Why is that? Because the king liked him better. And you think about all the horrible and wicked things that people can dream up in their minds and in their hearts, and desperately wickedness stuff. And David's saying, I'm facing this, and people are laying traps for me, but I'm not going to change. I'm not going to retaliate in the wrong way. Like Saul, who's out there chasing him, I'm not going to go out there and do what probably the men encouraged him to do. Go ahead and kill him now. You can become king now. He says, nope. I'm not gonna do it that way. He says, I'm committed to his word. I'm committed to do what's right no matter what happens. No matter if I'm in much affliction, no matter if I'm in a spot where people are trying to create a trap for me. And I want to encourage you tonight, the devil does not play fair. The attackers do not play fair. They don't care who they hurt. They don't care how much they manipulate, how much they lie, as long as they get their ways. But that in no way, shape, or form means that we can act in a way that's against his precepts. That's what he says. Even though these people did these things to me, I still erred not from thy precepts. He was committed because God's word was his light. He didn't know what else to do but to do what God's word did because of the commitment he made. Look at verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. This is what he's choosing as his inheritance. This is his heritage. This is what he wants to be known as. This is what he wants to be remembered as. This is what he wants to leave and has been left to him. And he was known as a man after God's own heart. It wasn't something that Jonathan wrote about him because he was just Jonathan's friend. No, before David ever met Jonathan, God told Samuel, there's somebody out there amongst Jesse's sons that had a heart for God. And he was looking for that person inwardly. So I want to encourage you tonight. Look at what he's saying here. He says, this is what means more to me than any financial gain, no matter what all those things. You say, well, Pastor, he was a king. He had all these wives and all this stuff. Even when he was running from Absalom, when he had nothing and he was running for his life, he still loved the word of God. And he didn't even have the whole Word of God. I'm going through the book of Leviticus right now. And, you know, sometimes some of those passages are a little challenging. And sometimes you read through them and you're like, I was going through leprosy yesterday. And I was reading through all those different things about leprosy. And those are the things that David loved. I mean, those are great things. But David's saying, I want you to teach me these things. And this is what I'm choosing as a heritage forever. This is what I want. And the great thing about this heritage is it's going to last forever. You know, sometimes when people leave somebody an inheritance, sometimes they spin through it really super fast. Sometimes they pass down a family heirloom that maybe has been there for hundreds of years and is going to keep on being there, and something that they can keep on passing down and passing down. David has chosen a heritage that nobody can take away. He's chosen a heritage that will last forever, and we've looked at how the Word of God will continue on and on. It will never fail. It's God's Word, and it's perfect, and all those wonderful things. And he says, this is my heritage. So what are we choosing for the inheritance? And what are those things that we're putting a priority on? And look at what he says at the end. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. He got joy out of the Word of God. I wonder how many of us need to pray during invitation time. God, will you give me a joy to read your Word? A joy to learn your Word more? A hunger and a thirst for what you have for me? Because right now, I'm struggling with that. I don't get anything out of it. I don't read it like I should. I wonder how many of us should say, I want to have a heart where the Word of God causes my heart to rejoice and to have joy. And it's a wonderful thought. Verse number 12, I have inclined my heart to perform the statute always, even unto the end. So that's our last verse for tonight, and we spoke a little bit about it, but it's a good way to end. Is number one, is it a commitment forever? And as we go all the way back to the beginning of this, David watched, he saw people that lived for God and how God responded to them. That's what I want, is what he said. Now as it continues on, he's coming to this point, I made this commitment, this is my guidebook, this is my GPS, this is where I'm going. I don't care if anybody else is telling me I can go this way, or somebody else is telling me there's a shortcut this way, this is my GPS and I'm sticking with it. And I'm not just sticking with it so I can know it. I'm sticking with it so I can perform it. That's the idea there. I don't want to just know the Word of God. I want to live the Word of God. I want it to be something that rejoices in me. And it's not something where I just says, I'm going to forgive. I want to be a forgiving person. It's not just somebody who says, I want the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. I want to live those things. I want to perform those things. I want to be able to reach the world for Jesus Christ. I want to be able to see people saved. I want fruit, and I want fruit that remains. I want to not just know it. I want to experience it. I want to be a part of that. I want to see God work. I want to know what it means to be Spirit-filled. I want all those things that His Word says is not just something we're telling people that this is what you should do. It's something that we're doing ourselves. Tonight, I encourage you to make a commitment to God's Word. And I know David got to write all these great Psalms, and he was a man after God's own heart, so he's probably a lot farther on than most of us are, if not all of us. But ask God tonight, Lord, I don't rejoice over your Word. Lord, I don't have a desire really to let your Word guide me. I'd rather make my own decisions. Lord, help me to make a commitment when I'm afflicted and when I'm hurting that I'm still going to listen to your Word. Help me when even others who are acting wickedly lay a snare for me. And I mean, they're laying a trap for you. They're not doing something just a little bit bad. They're actually setting you up to fall and to fail. And he says, even when the people do that to me, I still don't want to err from your precepts. Help me to have a desire for your Word like that. Because I don't see a desire and a hunger out of many people today. The world that we are living in, we have so many desires and hunger for so many other things that we don't get our joy out of the Word. We get our joy from somewhere else. And like I said, David, a lot farther along than I am. But it does show me how much someone loves the Word of God and how someone's committed to that Word of God. And I want to be committed like that. When things are bad and afflicted, I want to keep on doing His Word. When people are laying a trap for me, even though they're trying to harm me, and even though I still want to do it God's way. Because that's what God's going to bless. That's how God's going to work. And I want to have great joy in my heart about God's Word. I want to let it be my guide. I want to let it be my leader. I want it to give me my directions, or God Himself through His Word. And this is what my heritage is. This is what I want people to know. This is what I desire to make a forefront. And I care more about leaving this behind than anything else. It's the thing I want more than anything else. It's because it's God's Word. Tonight, making a commitment to God's Word. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look into Your Word, we realize we fall short so many different ways. God, that's why You've given us Your Word, to reveal things to us, to show us, to help us to grow, to become conform into the image of Your Son. And God, I pray that we have a desire to know Your Word better. As we continue on through the series and we look at this and we understand these things, and we don't just pass it over and say, well, that was nice for David. But we say, you know what? God's Word is willing to be my lamp. It is willing to be my light. That God's Word will carry me through the very dark times that I don't know what the next step is. And God's Word can show me the light even in the brightest of sunsets, that He has a will for me. And that I can make a commitment, not halfway committed, but Lord, something that You lay upon my heart to commit to Your Word. Even during times of great affliction, even during times when people are trying to entrap us, teach us those things that You want that are acceptable to You. Teach us according to Your Word what true praise and what true worship looks like. Teach us that when we come into the house of God or do anything in the name of God, we're not doing it for ourselves, but doing something that we're praying would be honorable and acceptable in Your sight. And God, I pray that we care more about the heritage that we could leave behind in that generation. Things are nice, but the Word of God is something that will never fail and that will never pass away. And that, Lord, we would have a desire to not just talk about it, not just sing about it, not just preach about it or teach about it, that we would have a desire to perform Your Word. Lord, help us. Help us tonight to get hungry and thirsty after Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.